Wow. What a harsh word. But we have to remember that at this time, God had sent many prophets to the people of Israel. And God had said repeatedly, I have blessed you with this land, and I have blessed you with great blessings, and I have given you many things, and I have given you the victory over your enemies, and you have taken all these blessings and squandered them. You have treated each other unfairly. You have not taken care of the people who were in need. You have traded with unfair weights and measures so as to take advantage of others. You have not been merciful in your judgments. You have not been just in the way you have treated people. You have not done my will. You have taken my law and used it in a harsh and false way. Hopefully, God would not say that of us. How many of you know what a plumb line is? I know most of the guys have used one when doing carpentry. It's not fancy technology. It's simply a pointed weight on a string. But it tells you what perfect straight and perfect vertical is. The term to build something plumb means to make sure that everything is perfectly straight up and down and square and properly constructed so that it won't fall down. We have such wonderful technology these days, and we think about all the computers and mathematics and other instruments we have, laser levels and magnificent things, and yet still, the plumb line is in use every day on construction sites, on construction jobs, because it gives you a measure of what is exactly true. I was fascinated. I was watching TV. I don't know if any of you like to watch a program called Numbers. There's a young man who's a mathematician, and half the time I don't even understand the math that he's doing. But he uses higher math to help his brother, who's a FBI agent, and they have great adventures. Well, in this one episode, there was the question of whether this particular big, new, beautiful building was built properly. And this mathematician goes up in the building to one of the high floors, and he hangs a plumb line in a window and puts a piece of paper at the bottom where the plumb line can draw a circle of its movement. You know, big buildings standing up in the wind, they move. We don't normally experience that, but if you've ever been on a really big building and it's been a really high wind, you can sometimes feel the buildings moving. That's kind of scary. But if it doesn't move, it can break. If it's not built properly, it can fall down. And his point was moving in an ellipse, in an oval, showing how much that building was moving. And then with his mathematical ability, he could calculate, knowing how fast the wind was blowing when he was taking the measurements, how much it would move in different winds from different directions. Well, somewhere along there, he lost me in the calculations, but I was fascinated to see that simple plumb line tool technology being used even in today to measure something as high tech as a skyscraper and how it moved and how it shifted in the wind and how it changed. What do we use to measure our lives? What is our plumb line? What is our measure of perfect straightness, perfect appropriateness? How do we measure our lives? Do we measure our lives based on what we have? What we have accumulated? How many children we have? In the old days, the size of your family was important. How big your clan was meant how much land you had and how many flocks you had, and all those things were important. All those things are still important. We care about our kids. We care about our families. We care about our grandkids. And some of us even get to care about our great-grandkids. What is our plumb line. As I asked myself that, I realized that in the New Testament, we are given a plumb line, an example of perfection in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. The term has been used and maybe overused. What would Jesus do? We ask ourselves, how's my life compared to His? How's my faith compared to His? What can I do to be more like Him? And then I've heard that "what would Jesus do" phrase changed and modified for different situations. Some people say WWJD stands for "what would Jesus drive?" Should I have a more efficient, more environmentally friendly vehicle? Oh, I think He'd probably have a Volkswagen bus with all His 12 disciples in back, you know. Who knows? But we use Him as our measure. I was reading our upper room and someone said, "what would Jesus really do?" WWJRD. Did I get that right? And I thought, yeah, what would He really do? Not only that, but what would He think about our world today? What would He think about us? What would He think about our church? What would He think about what's going on? What would He see that we don't see? How would He perceive our world differently than we do? We take things for granted. We're used to stuff. And then somebody flies a jet into a building or drops bombs on Pearl Harbor or does something totally expected and our world changes. And we never see things quite the same again. We lose someone we love and the world changes. And it's not the same for us. We go to a new place, we do a different job, and the world changes. Things are different. We get older, we retire, and the world changes. And our perspective has changed. But He is the plumb line that never changes. He is the example that is always perfect and pure because He was willing to give His life for us. Are we willing to give our lives for Him? In some ways. People go on missions to Africa, and we are impressed that they are willing to give up their time and their safety and their money to go and help some poor little African people. Or South America, or Appalachia, or around the corner. Do we live our lives with Jesus as the plumb line that shows us what perfect is? I don't expect that we will ever be perfect. But if we have that standard in our hearts and in our minds, then maybe we can make better choices, do better things. Measure our lives with something other than investments or family or bottom line or how I feel. To have that perfect, pure, straight line to say, this is what I want to be. This is who I want to be. This is who I want to be like. This is who I want to think like. This is who I want to feel like. This is what I want my life to be like. As we get older, sometimes we want to leave a legacy. We want to do something that matters. And young people often say, I want my life to matter. I want to make a difference. Well, here's someone who made a difference. Who 2,000 years later, we still worship. We still recognize as the perfect example of a perfect human being living in a very imperfect world. Won't make you popular. Sometimes it won't make you welcome. It won't make you rich. It might make you happier in a joyful way that comes from knowing that you have a relationship with God the Father and the Son and can be filled with His Holy Spirit to become someone other than just the person we will be here on earth. I think that matters. I think that makes a difference in the way we live. I think that makes a difference in what we see. I think that makes a difference in what we think and what we feel and what we do. Here in our hearts. Here in our minds. Here in our church. And out there in the world. If we reject that plumb line, will we be any better off than Israel? You know, when the exile came, they didn't take the poor people. They took the professionals, the well-off people, the doctors and the lawyers and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the important people and the affluent people. Those were the people that were exiled because those were the people who had taken advantage of God's gifts and not given back to help His people, to make things better, to share the love. Jesus came to show us an example of His love that we might learn to have love, forgiveness, peace, and joy. And so today I wish you love, forgiveness, peace, and joy. In Jesus' name.